Good morning, church. Please join me in Galatians 6, 11 through 18. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Emily, for reading the word of God. Go ahead and, church, you can be seated as we today wrap up this amazing book called Galatians. I love preaching verse by verse through books of the Bible, and I hate preaching verse by verse through books of the Bible, right? I love it because you have to preach everything that's there. It's a consistent, it gives you an overview, it preaches the whole counsel of God's word, which is what we're commanded to do. But I hate it because you have to preach everything that's there. And, some of those things, I'd rather shy away from, but the book of Galatians is a deep, richly deep book about salvation by grace alone. And it's something that we need to understand in our world. And we've been talking about through all this, we've called it Set Free, and we've been talking about all these things that we're set free from or set free to do. And today, we're also going to talk about something we're set free to do and something we're set free from. And it reminded me this week of an interview that Tom Brady, the GOAT, you know what a GOAT is, right? A GOAT is the greatest of all time. Tom Brady is, although I hate to admit it, the greatest quarterback of all time, 7 Super Bowl rings, and he did that without a great cast around him ever. And so he is the greatest quarterback of all time. And not too long ago, earlier in this year, he was on the Deep Cuts podcast with Vic Blends, and he said in that podcast, he was lamenting the selfish attitude of today's young players and how he hated the attitude of today's young players and how they boast and how they were always bragging and boastful and how they were only interested in their social media and in their brand. And he said, man, if you're only interested in you and what you can do rather than us and what we can do, then you're not going to help your team win. And Vic Blends agreed, and he said, man, I think it's great that you can show how good you are to the world, but I think it's inspirational on another level when you make other people look great, right? And so we all know that the world is full of people who think they're God's gift to their sport or to their family or to their kids or to their community, to their business. We all know that the world is full of people who like to make much of themselves. Today, as we wrap this up, we're going to see that I think Paul tells us that we are set free from boasting in self, but set free to boast in Christ. We're set free to boast, just not in self, in our Savior. And so, when you receive an email, you might have received an email before that's in all caps. I don't know if you have. And typically, I know when I receive an email in all caps, it's like somebody, it's like, okay, they really didn't realize what they're doing because it's like they're screaming at you through the keyboard, isn't it? They're screaming at you, and that's exactly what Paul's doing as he closes out this letter. Paul probably wrote this letter like he did most of his letters through a scribe. He probably spoke to an assistant who wrote down and dictated what he was saying, and that's how he typically did his letters. But he comes down to the last part of this letter. This is such an important theological construct, what he's talking about, that he says, give me the pen. I'm gonna close this thing out myself. And he says, see what large letters I write to you? That's exactly what Paul does. He writes in all caps through the rest of it in order to make his point. And what is his point? His point is, I think he sums it up, and basically verses 11 through 18 is a summation of everything he said throughout the first 6 chapters so far. He sums up everything he said, and I think it can be summed up. His summation can be summed up in 2 points that we're going to look at. You are set free from boasting in self, and you are set free to boast in Christ, the Savior. And so let's look first at being set free from boasting in self. Now, Paul said the Judaizers boasted in themselves. He said that they forced circumcision in order to make a good showing in the flesh. They were boasting in themselves. Remember what the Judaizers were all about. And remember how we got here. Paul was a church planter. Paul preached the gospel. He was an itinerant evangelist, but a church planter. He would go to cities and he would plant a church. He would try to get the church established with as good a theological foundation as he could. And then he would go on off and start another church in other cities. And that's what Paul did. He started the churches in Galatia. And then he, after he started them and got them up and running, he went off and a group of missionaries, so to speak, from Jerusalem came into town to try to make sure the church was confused, or in their mind, they were trying to make sure the church were become Jewish. And so they come in and they begin to teach that Jesus is cool. This Paul comes in and he teaches you that you can be saved by faith only. You can be saved by faith only, God's grace through faith, and that's cool. We believe in Jesus, and we believe that faith is vital and important and essential, but you also, if you really want to be saved, if you really want to be right with God, you have to be circumcised. It's Jesus plus something. Paul's gospel was Jesus plus nothing. Paul's gospel was not Jesus plus circumcision, not Jesus plus the sacrificial system, not Jesus plus the festivals, not Jesus plus anything. It was Jesus plus nothing. That's what the whole Old Testament pointed to. That's what all the festivals and all the sacrificial system, all the circumcision and everything pointed to Jesus. He said it's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, equals salvation. The Judaizers come in saying that, and Paul's equation is wrong. You want to be saved, it's Jesus plus circumcision. It's Jesus plus regulations. It's Jesus plus law. It's Jesus plus works. Right, and he had they had the church royally confused. Paul heard about this, and he was royally upset in some ways, and you can see that in some of the parts of the letter where he's like, "Man, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm perplexed by you." Right, and so he sort of gets in their face, so to speak, and he says, "What are you thinking? What are you doing?" Like a football coach does, you know, when his team is like making mistakes. What are you doing? And that's what Paul is doing. He writes this to, the whole letter is basically a defense of salvation by grace through faith. That's what this whole letter is written to do. And so Paul, you know, he comes in and he tells them it's Jesus plus nothing. The church still struggles with this today, folks. Churches still struggle with this today. All of us in this room, I think, that are members of this church, let me say people who are members of this church, because I know there are people in this room that are all over from all different backgrounds. People who are members of this church, I truly believe that you trust Jesus and only Jesus for your salvation. But something happens, and then when you trust Jesus and only Jesus for salvation, then you believe, well, man, I've got to start working to please God. I've got to start working, or if I don't work, if I don't do these things. And I think a lot of this confusion comes down from a heavy Roman Catholic influence in our world. Because you see, the Roman Catholics believe, some of you come out of a Roman Catholic background. Some of you have family, friends in a Roman Catholic background. And Roman Catholics believe, like the Judaizers, that Jesus was cool. Jesus is good. Faith is important. Really important. The Roman Catholics believe that, but the Roman Catholics also believe that you can't be saved without works, just like the Judaizers. Paul's letter today to the Galatians, as we look at it, as he's absolutely getting in the face of the Galatians for being confused by the theology of the Judaizers, and he's getting and he's basically saying the Judaizers are absolutely theologically in error. Is exactly, he could say the same thing to the Roman Catholic Church. He would write this to the Roman Catholic Church today, because it's the same issue, just a different deal. They were circumcision. Roman Catholics are all about different works, right? I mean, for instance, the Roman Catholics are so much about works that today, when they started needing some money, they actually reinstituted indulgences not too long ago, which means that what's an indulgence? Those of you who are not Roman Catholic, an indulgence is basically if you sin, if you pay enough money, it can be forgiven. It's an indulgence, right? I mean, and so you can buy your way out of your sin with indulgence. That's reinstituted in the Roman Catholic Church today. right? And so it's a very, very, very similar thing, different deals, but a very similar thing. And Paul says it's absolutely theological error. The only way to be saved. If you believe today in Jesus plus anything, you are not saved. You need to understand that. That means Jesus' cross was not sufficient. Jesus' cross, it was not sufficient. If you believe in Jesus plus anything, it's very important what you believe, right? And so it's not just like, well, you're close. I mean, it's close enough for, horseshoes and hand grenades, but no, it's not. Close doesn't get it. Close doesn't get it. You have to know, it's important to know what you believe. And so the Judaizers wanted to make a good showing of the flesh. In other words, they wanted to be successful. They wanted to push their agenda. They wanted to make much of themselves, and they wanted to boast about how good they were. Apparently, the more foreskins that they collected, so to speak, would be impressive to the leaders in Jerusalem. The leaders in Jerusalem would be very impressed if they got more and more people to be circumcised. And so they weren't really concerned about the Galatians keeping the law. They were concerned about people thinking they were good. And so that's why they were focused on external rules, external rituals, rather than internal transformation. Because, see, you can measure external rituals. You can measure those things. And if you focus on external rituals, if you focus on the things that we do on the outside rather than the heart on the inside, then it's easy to impress people, because it's easy to talk about the external rituals. It's easy for people to see what I do. And if I believe that impresses God, then it's easy to impress God. It's even easy to impress myself. Right, it's easy to impress myself if I believe that my church attendance or the amount of money that we give the things that we do at church, if we measure those things, it's easy to say, man, I've been at church. I've missed three times in the last 3 years. I've been faithful and giving. I serve. And it's easy to go, I'm good, right? Or I'm good. And those things are good. Those things are a part of salvation, but those things are not for salvation. They're from salvation. We don't work for salvation. We work from salvation. Right? And so they were focused on external rituals because they made themselves look good. But Paul said, here's the problem. Paul said, even they don't keep the law. They're hypocrites. Right? And so to boast, folks, they were boasting themselves. To boast means to glory in something. It means to make much of something. It means to be consumed with or mastered by something. It comes from the center of your soul. And so what are you boasting about? That's the question that we need to answer. Because most of us, if we're honest, and it's easy to boast in ourselves, and why do we boast in ourselves? You watch TV, you watch the sports world every Saturday, every Sunday, and you're gonna see athletes who boast in themselves a lot, right? Why do we do that? Because we want to make people believe we're something, right? We want to make people believe we're good. And the problem with that is, man, you can throw the winning touchdown and you can get on TV and talk about how good you are and I am he and all those kind of things. And the next Saturday or the next Sunday, you're going to throw two picks and cost your team the game. And then you're on the lowest of low, because it's all about your performance. Man, you can score the winning touchdown. You can run, the ball over the goal line and score the winning touchdown. And man, you can say, I did this. I carried this team, right? I mean, I read recently that the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, he was at USC last week. He won an award at USC, and his response was, yeah, I mean, they were lucky to have me. They were lucky to have me. Welcome to the NFL when you throw about four picks in two games, right? And then it's like, oh, my goodness, I've been great. But now when you boast in yourself, it turns into a shamble because, man, you're riding this roller coaster. Man, your job, you boast in your job, and all of a sudden you get cut back. You boast in your money, and all of a sudden the stock market tanks. You boast in, man, how great of a husband you are, and in your marriages and all this, it makes you so inconsistent in your life. And the same is true spiritually. And we live in this world where performance is everything, because I get my raise based off of performance. I get my promotion based off of performance. My kid starts in his sports based off of performance and all these things. And so we carry that over into religion and into our faith. And we get saved and we realize, yeah, man, that's awesome. God's grace is awesome. But then I think most Christians, a lot of people today are not believers yet, and you're thinking you have to work to be righteous. And Paul said, no, you can never work to be righteous. Your works are like filthy rags to Christ. You come to him just as you are, and it's all his grace. That's what makes it magnificent. Some of you are saved, and you get saved, and you think, I'm saved by grace, but then it's by works that I'm righteous. And Paul said, no. It's not true. Because then, let me tell you the danger of that. When you begin to boast in yourself and your church attendance and all the works and the things that you can do for your salvation, it's great when you feel like you're knocking it out of the park. But then, man, it's not when you feel like, I'm not doing enough. Then you begin to question your salvation. So Paul said we're free from boasting in ourselves. You're free, Galatians, from boasting in yourself. These Judaizers, they're boasting in themselves. You're free from all that. You're free. You don't have to boast in yourself. You're set free from that. You're set free from boasting in what you did or what you do. You're free to boast in what God has done. It's not about human achievement. If it was about human achievement, we could praise a person, but it's not about human achievement. It's about what God did and does, and so we praise Jesus. And so that leads to the second point, is we're set free from boasting in ourselves, but we're set free to boast in the Savior. Paul boasted too, folks. I want you to know, Paul boasted too. I love, if we could do a forensic, I get a lot of encouragement from Paul and Peter, from these guys, because if we could do a forensic study of their personality, I think my personality closely relates to both of these personalities. I mean, you got Peter. If you think about Peter, what do I mean by that? Well, Peter, he stuck his foot in his mouth a lot, right? He was rash. Paul, man, he was a hard charger. He's going all in. He's getting people. I mean, I take a lot of encouragement from the fact when I look at these guys. You know what? I think their personality sort of fit with mine, because I mean, I think Paul, think about all Paul had to boast about, right? He could have boasted. And if I'm honest, man, I've got this spirit about me that I can trash talk, right? I mean, I love to trash talk, and I don't care who it is. If I'm playing something, I'm very competitive. And even if I'm playing my kids in a board game, I'll promise you, if I can help it, they ain't winning. You know, the kids are gonna learn in my house that you don't get a participation trophy for playing. And kids gonna learn in my house that losing builds your character, and I wanna build their character a lot, right? That's what I tell them. I'm gonna own you, and you're gonna learn that that's building your character. You know, and Paul, I think he could have trash talked a lot, but you know what Paul did? Paul, and he did boast, he just didn't boast in himself post-salvation. He didn't boast in himself. You didn't hear Paul boast about his popularity, how many stadiums he filled. Think about Billy Graham filling the stadiums. What do you think Paul would happen if Paul showed up over in Nissan Stadium? What do you think would happen? Man, that stadium would be packed. Paul wouldn't be out boasting about, look at how many stadiums I filled up and how many people come to see me. He didn't boast about how many Instagram followers he had, his influence, how many books he had written. He didn't boast about how I've planted churches all over the good old United States. He didn't boast about how many churches he had planted, how much money he had raised and given to missions. He didn't boast about any of those things. Man, he didn't boast about, I guarantee you, Paul was always the smartest guy in the room. His IQ was off the charts, but he didn't boast about, you know, how many debates he had won, how many people he had owned. He didn't boast about any of those things. Matter of fact, he said, far be it from me to boast about anything except the cross of Christ. What does it mean to boast in the cross of Christ? It means to have complete confidence in the cross of Christ. It means that I'm consumed with the cross of Christ. It means that I go all in with the cross of Christ. It means it comes from the center of my soul. Remember, that's what boasting means. Some people boast in themselves and they end up wanting, but some people that boast in Christ and the cross of Christ never end up wanting. Why? Why can we boast in the cross of Christ? Because it was at the cross that Jesus paid for the sin that I had committed. It was for the cross that Jesus purchased my redemption at the cross. It was at the cross that ensures that the wrath of God will never be poured out on me. It was at the cross that I became a new creation, that was made possible for me to become a new creation. It's at the cross that means I'm adopted and loved and I'm forgiven. All this because of the cross. And so what do I boast in? I boast in the cross of Christ. That's what Paul is saying. I'm consumed with the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ comes from the center of my soul. He could boast in the cross of Christ because the world had been crucified to him and he had died to the world. That's what Paul said. He said, the world's been crucified to me. In other words, He said, the world is dead to me. You've heard people say, man, when someone wrongs someone, I mean, they betray them. They let them down severely. And some of them might say, that person's dead to me. In other words, they don't even exist. That's what Paul said about the world. The world had let him down. The world had betrayed him, the system of the world. And he said, the world is dead to me. I no longer believe like the world believes. That's why I can glory in the cross. I no longer long for what the world can give me. That's why I can glory in the cross. Yeah, he says that the world is dead to him, right? He no longer behaves like the world behaves. Love what the world loves. The world is dead to me. I glory in the cross because the cross is what consumes me, because the cross is what, at the cross is what made possible for my salvation. That's the only thing I want to glory in. That's the only thing good. I want to glory in it. Paul says it's not about behavior modification. Being a Christian is not about being a nice person. It's about being a new person. It's not about behavior modification. It's about internal transformation, right? It's about being a new creation. That's what circumcision actually symbolized. Paul was telling them that, look, circumcision, God gave the Jews circumcision to Abraham as a sign of the covenant, right? God did not tell Abraham, hey, you circumcise all the male infants on the eighth day, and when they're circumcised, they are immediately saved. That was a sign of the covenant that God made. They were circumcised as a sign of that covenant. And so Paul then says in Romans, he explains this in Romans when he talks about circumcision. And he said, the Jews are Jews in the heart. It's the Jew, a true Jew is a Jew inward, because it's not external, it's internal. In other words, what he was teaching the Romans was, it's not external circumcision. It's not that you cut off the foreskin. It's that you circumcise the heart. You cut sin out of your heart. Not that you're not committing sin, but you cut sin out of your heart. It's a symbol. That's what circumcision was. It was pointing everything, Paul is saying, pointed forward to Jesus. That's what all these Jewish regulations, the sacrificial system, it pointed to Jesus. The festivals were about Jesus. The temple was about Jesus. The circumcision was about Jesus. It's all about cutting sin out of your heart. That's what circumcision. So he comes in, and today in our world, baptism is exactly the same. That's why we do not believe baptism is essential for your salvation. It is essential for your obedience. Just like for the Jews prior to Jesus, circumcision would have been essential for their obedience to walk in covenant, because it was a sign of the covenant. That's why they were circumcised. That would have been essential, because that's what God said is a sign of the covenant. Today, baptism. We baptize first service here. We baptize almost every week at Life Point. Pretty much every week, if not at this campus, one of our campuses, it's a blessed and beautiful thing. And we don't do that to give salvation to those people. We do that because they're walking in obedience. It's essential for obedience, because we're commanded to be baptized. It's essential for obedience but not salvation, because it is a sign that we are immersed in Christ. As circumcision is a sign of a circumcised heart, cutting sin out, baptism is a sign of being immersed in the life, death, burial, resurrection, and of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is a sign. It is a symbol of, right? So Christianity isn't about being a nice person or trying to modify your behavior from the outside. It's about being a new person whose heart is changed. And then Paul said the motive of the Judaizers was to avoid persecution, right? They didn't want to be persecuted. Now, in that day, to follow Jesus meant certain persecution from two different angles. One, yeah, from the pagan government. Think about Nero, right? I mean, man, we know that Nero levied some massive persecution against Christians and other rulers. And so from the pagan government, it meant persecution, even death. But man, probably the worst persecution didn't come from the pagan government. That was to be expected. The worst persecution would come from the religious system. Think about it. You remember who the first martyr was? His name was Stephen. Stephen was the very first person killed in the New Testament that we read about. He was the very first martyr for the faith. Who killed Stephen? Was it the Roman government? No. It was the religious establishment. Remember who was there? A guy named Saul, who would become this Paul. And he was standing there leading the charge, cheerleading, holding people's coats as they loosened up their arm so they could pick up a rock and hit Stephen in the head and kill him because he believed in Jesus. What did Paul go on and do before? He went around arresting and killing Christians. Who killed Jesus? Think about who killed Jesus. Now, I know that's debatable. That's debatable, and I brought that up because many people would say, well, the Roman government killed Jesus. And it's true because they nailed him to the cross. But many people would say the Jews, religious Jews, killed Jesus. And it's true because they were the ones who trumped up the charges against him, put him under an absolute sham of a court, and then took him and cried, crucify him, right? So it was, yes, that's true that the Jews killed Jesus, but in some way. I say that the Jews probably had more responsibility before God than the Romans because they are the ones that trumped up the charges. So I think the Romans did it, but the Jews have more responsibility. But you know who has more responsibility than the Romans or the Jews? Me and you. I killed Jesus. Did you know that? You killed Jesus. Our sin is what killed Jesus. The Romans could have not nailed Jesus to the cross unless he laid out his arms. Jesus could have snapped his finger. He could have thought a thought and destroyed all the Romans. The Jews couldn't have trumped up charges. There was no conspiracy that could have come to light if Jesus hadn't wanted it to. It happened so that he could die for our sin. My sin nailed him to the cross, and those of you who believe in him, that's why he died. But certain persecution from the Romans, from the religious establishment, came upon those who believed in Jesus in that day. Now, there were two ways to avoid persecution then. From the religious system, the way to avoid persecution would have been to be circumcised. Because the religious system then in that day wanted you to be a Jew. And the key principle, the thing that made you a Jew in their eyes was, yes, keep the law, but circumcision. So if you were a Christian and you were circumcised, then you could say, I am observing Jewish customs, and you could avoid persecution by simply being circumcised. Paul said, that's what they're doing. Man, they got a faith that's a health and wealth, basically. They don't want to suffer anything. They don't want to sacrifice anything for Christ. They want to receive, not get. And so they're trying to avoid persecution, right? And the second way to avoid persecution in that day was from the government. And how would you do that? Well, you would sort of stay in a closet with your faith. If you didn't want to be persecuted, you wouldn't go public with your faith, or you would live a silent Christian life, or you would live a life that said, you know what, we don't talk about religion or politics because those divide people. That's not what a believer in Jesus Christ that's boasting a cross says. Right? I mean, you do talk about Jesus. I don't know about religion, but you talk about Jesus. You have to talk about it. You boast in the cross. You can't boast in anything if you don't talk about it. So you boast in the cross of Christ. And so they avoided persecution by being circumcised from the religious or by keeping their mouth shut from the government. And here's what we can learn from this. Paul said, they're trying to avoid persecution. But the cross has a way of inviting persecution. If you follow Jesus today, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. You'll be persecuted, and it depends on what cultural context that you're in. You know, if you follow Christ in Iran today, you're going to be thrown in prison and killed. If you follow Christ in Iran. If you follow Christ in subcultures today, you're going to not be able to work. Here in America today, I mean, that's increasing. It's a different kinds of persecution. But we are being, Christians are the most persecuted religion in the world, by the way. You'll never hear that, but Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world. And in America, that's coming to America in different forms. There's cultural pressure for you to keep quiet because your beliefs do not fall in line with the cultural mandates and the cultural world. That doesn't fall in line. So if you share your convictions, about, you know, when life begins, then all of a sudden the world begins to see you in a different light, right? You begin to share your convictions about sex, sexuality, sexual ethic in the Bible, the world begins to see you in a different light. You begin to share your convictions, and so what does many people do? They just keep their convictions to themselves. It's not boasting in the cross to keep your convictions to yourself. It's wanting to avoid persecution. And so we avoid persecution by keeping our faith to ourselves. We don't need to boast in ourselves, folks, but we certainly need to boast in the cross of Christ. We need to boast in the Savior. That's what our world needs today. Our world, our messed up world, they don't need us to go around and beat our chest and be arrogant and be prideful with our opinions. We need to be more worried about our influence than our opinions, but we'd also need to share our convictions in a way that increases our influence and doesn't take it away in this political climate that we're in. And so Paul said they want to avoid persecution. They want to avoid it. And Paul then dropped the mic. I love he dropped the mic when he said, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear the marks of Jesus. That's a mic drop statement as he walked off. Because what he's saying is, those Judaizers, they want to avoid persecution. And they come in and they're telling you that I've messed you up. They're telling you, they're trying to change your mind about what I teach you. And then I'm teaching you this and you're getting up to listen. Don't you say I bear the marks of Christ. They live in a lap of luxury, but I bear the marks of Christ. Remember, he had been stoned and left for dead on the side of the road. That's the marks of Christ. He had been beaten with lashes, the full lashes minus one a few times. He had been ran out of town. He bore the marks of Christ. You see, the Judaizers, man, the marks that they were concerned about was the marks of circumcision. Paul was concerned about the marks of Christ. I would say that if you boast in the cross, you're going to receive the marks of Christ. You're going to receive the marks of Christ, and it might be that you lose your job. It might be that you lose friends. It might be that, man, you're off on an island by yourself at work. It might mean all those things. But you're like Paul. You say, hey, don't mess with me. I bear the marks of Christ because you boast in the cross of Christ. Don't boast in yourself. You boast in yourself, you're setting yourself up for major, major failure and problems. We boast in the cross of Christ. We're set free from boasting in self. We're set free to boast in the cross of Christ and the Savior. Who are you boasting in? Today, some of you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is working on you. This is the great thing that gives me freedom when I preach. When I preach up here, I can preach. I can get up and recite the ABCs. I can get up and read three chapters of some book and close it, and if the Holy Spirit convicts you, you'll be saved. But if he doesn't, it doesn't matter if I preach the greatest sermon ever, you're not going to be. That's all the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I pray today, has been convicting you. And if today you're watching online or today you're in the room and you say, man, I need this Jesus. I want to boast in Jesus because I boasted in myself and it's left me wanting, and it always will. If today you want to boast in Jesus, you want to understand what that means, if you'll text the word Jesus to the number on the screen, we'll get back in touch with you. If you're in a room, if you'll just come back and see us, we'll help you to understand what that means right now. Boasting in yourself will leave you wanting. It's good for a moment. Then tomorrow you're going to fail and it's going to be terrible. If you're boasting in anything for salvation but Jesus, you're going to be left wanting and you're going to always be wondering. But if you boast in Jesus, you know your salvation is not dependent upon what you do. It's on what he did. You didn't do anything for it, so you can't do anything to lose it. And that gives you such an amazing, amazing confidence in the grace of God, not in the effort of you. That means you can't praise you because you didn't do anything for it. You can praise Jesus. What an incredible, incredible blessing of God's grace when you begin to realize that. Today, if you want to know how to do that, come and talk to us. If you're a believer this week, I would ask you to get in your quiet time and I would say, Jesus, help me to boast in my Savior. Help me to boast in my Savior. Help that to be what consumes me because of what the cross means. Help that to be what consumes me. Help that to come from the center of my soul. Help that to be what sets my day. Help me to boast about the cross of Christ because it's what I love more than anything. The world is dead to me, as Paul said, and I'm dead to the world. I live for the glory of God. Believer, I hope that attitude and mindset this week. Father, we love you. Thank you for your amazing grace. God, it is grace that Paul talks about all through the book of Galatians. It says Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's grace. God, it's hard for us to understand it, but it's beautiful for us to it's beautiful for our salvation. It's beautiful for our life that it's grace. Thank you that I don't have to impress you. Thank you that I can't do anything to lose my salvation because I didn't do anything to get it. Thank you that it's not your love of me. You love me as much on my worst day as you do on my best day because it's grace. God, it's not my performance. God, I do pray that I work. I do pray that I do things out of my salvation because I'm boasting in the cross, not for my salvation. God, I pray that for everyone in here. I pray that it would change the point from which we live, that we don't work for, but we work from our salvation. And what that means is incredible. Thank you for your grace. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Travis is going to lead us.